State Senator Jim Broach in studio with Republican challenger Dr. Tim Robinson. An email, gentlemen. Senator, I'll start this off with you. When a politician says no new taxes, the question should be, do you promise not to increase current tax rates? And that's a valid question coming to what came up in the gubernatorial debate. Does that mean no increases or no new taxes?
I think it should be no new taxes. So, you know.
Okay. So you're saying that it's not a problem to increase a tax?
No, I think it's I think it encompasses everything. I think it's no new taxes or increases,
no new fees, no increased tolls.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. I voted against the gas tax, and you know that the gas tax has the CPI, the consumer price index, attached to it. You know, if they said, okay, well, we're going to double the CPI or something from now on, it's going to be double the CPI. That's an increase also. So, I mean, I think that holds water also. And incidentally, I mean, one of the worst pieces of legislation that I voted against in my time there. I mean, every time the CPI goes up to infinity, the gas tax goes up. If you equated that in real dollars today, if they would have passed this bill in 1998. The gas tax would be $1.86 in the state of Maryland right now.
Doctor?
I basically agree with what Jim's saying, but I wouldn't just say taxes. I think we have to talk about tolls, fees, surcharges, and my opponent has voted for over 30 bills that, in fact, raised surcharges, tolls, fees.
Okay, we need to put an end to this right now. So obviously this is radio, so I can't show this to a television station, but every single toll increase, I voted against. And here's how I did it. E.J. Pipkin, the Senate Minority Leader, put a bill together and said said that every single toll increase before one toll is raised has to be voted on by the Maryland State Legislature. Every Democrat voted against it except for me. I supported the Republicans for that. I haven't supported one toll increase, Fort McHenry, Harbor, Francis Scott Key, you name it, Bay Bridge. I have not supported one toll increase because I think they should go before the legislature. I think we should live within their means. I've demonstrated.
How about surcharges?
I actually have something right here that I'll be happy to show you also.
I'll be happy to give you the list of 30 different bills that you have voted for that have increased various charges.
Well, I got to tell you something. Not only am I not familiar with one, and not only have I demonstrated 38 different times I voted against O'Malley, but you haven't taken office yet, and you've already agreed to.
You voted with O'Malley 94% of the time.
Okay, let me respond to that. First of all, you haven't taken office yet, and you have agreed to increase the alcohol tax. And
I
tobacco
did not
tax.
Agree to increase the alcohol tax.
You signed a pledge. You signed a pledge, Tim.
Jim.
You signed a pledge to do it, and let me answer as 94% because I think it's a fair criticism. Okay, we have thousands of bills that go before us every year. 80% of them are 47-0 votes, and they're 47-0 votes because there are bureaucratic things that passed to change certain things. So 80% of the time, every single Republican votes with O'Malley also. Okay, and then you differentiate between tax bills. And
but I'm talking about O'Malley bills,
Senator. Okay.
So then you go to tax bills, and on tax bills, 38 plus times I have said no to Martin O'Malley on major tax increases: gas, sales, income, corporate. I voted against the tech tax a couple of years ago. Every single major tax increase, all the tolls. The list goes on and on and on, and as people get their mail, and I apologize, for the mail, they're going to see all the major tax increases. I have not supported it, and I haven't because I'm an independent-minded person who listens to both sides and doesn't do the party game.
Doctor?
Okay. I can say the same thing. When you look at all the bills, yes, there are a huge number of bills out there that really don't matter a lot. But when I'm saying 94%, I'm talking about the O'Malley-Brown administration bills. Okay. I look at this and basically say we need a different system here.
I would agree
you
with that.
I agree with that. Jim. Okay. I look at what we have and believe that we need to change things. And we're not changing things by keeping a career politician in after 12 years. I am a professional. I had a great career, a lot of different things. I was a small business owner. I was the president of my state society of anesthesiologists. And I look at this stuff and I say that we need a change. We don't need a career politician. We need to have somebody in there that's not going to be a politician, that's okay. going to be a public servant.
All right, Doctor. Senator.
Okay. You're the only person who's ever called me a career politician. And the reason is because I have another job. I'm an insurance broker, okay? I'm an insurance broker. I work on full commission. I'm the only legislator out of 188 that works on full commission. And believe me, I know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. I know what business taxes do to business. I know the high rate of taxation we have in the state, especially the income tax, where we're at 5%. And the brackets and the highest bracket starts at $100,000 for an individual and $150,000 if you file jointly. Believe me, okay? I am not a career politician. I'm an insurance broker. I represent small businesses anywhere between 40 employees and it goes up to 300 employees. And I help them try and get through Obamacare, which is not easy.
And Senator, staying on the point of taxes, we've had several emails on the RAIN tax. Before we went to news, we were talking about the balance when it comes to regulation and taxes. With the RAIN tax, and several people have asked this question, are we taking our eye off the ball when it comes to regulation to protect the environment on things like the RAIN tax, which has been very controversial?
Yeah, look, I have stated a million different times that, for some reason, four county executives and county commissioners have gotten it right across the state in Frederick, Carroll, Harford, and partially in Anne Arundel, where they didn't have to implement a RAIN tax, where they did it with the existing funds. But in Baltimore County, for some reason, our county executive thinks it's okay to take commercial businesses and make their RAIN tax almost as high as their property tax, and in some cases higher. So, yeah, I think the county council needs to repeal it. I think the county executive should repeal it. It's harder for the state legislature to do it. It's easy for the council. The Kamenetz ticket that he put together got defeated in the election, including the person he put to run against me, got defeated. And I think it's prime time to roll back or repeal the RAIN tax. And the county executive has the authority to do it. He didn't have to raise the RAIN tax in the first place. He didn't have to implement the RAIN tax, and he did.
Dr. Remington?
Well, I again agree with the idea that the RAIN tax is not a well-crafted tax. It's something that was so poorly done, even though people like the idea and want to support the Chesapeake Bay, this was a very ham-handed way of doing it. And Jim, as you know, you did vote for it.
I didn't vote for a tax, Tim, okay? That's absolutely
Jim,
not
please,
true.
You know, let's not interrupt each other. I think that when you look at this and the way that this was done, it's basically one of those issues where the government is saying simply, we know better than you. And I think that that's the wrong way to go about governing. I think what we have here in this state is a one-party system where one group of people is basically telling everybody else, we know better than you. And I know that the listeners of WBAL know better than that, and they want to have a say in how it is that we are taxed and how we're going to approach problems.
Senator Burson.
I don't disagree with the last part of what Tim said. I mean, there is a problem with the liberal wing of my party, and they do it because they can. And we need to figure out a better way. But the better way isn't taking the most independent senator in Annapolis, who has voted against O'Malley time after time again, who has been put in the back row of the Maryland Senate as punishment. And has been an independent voice for an independent district and get rid of him in favor of somebody who's aligned himself with Vinnie DeMarco and said yes to the alcohol tax and yes to the tobacco tax and hasn't even taken office yet.
Gentlemen, I want to move on to immigration. Ted Dallas, he is Maryland Secretary of Human Resources, acknowledged in a Baltimore Sun piece that tens of thousands of children from Central America are currently in Maryland waiting for their status to be adjudicated, yet refuses to disclose where they're being housed and the exact number. Should Marylanders know how many children are here, and what should the state's role be with dealing with this issue? Doctor?
Absolutely. I think we should know who's here. I think we should know where they're going to be, and there needs to be an actual discussion. And this is, again, one of the problems having a single-party state, is that you have a small group of people that are, in fact, deciding these things and really telling the people of the state, we don't care what you think. We're doing the right thing. And, of course, in Governor O'Malley's perspective, he's running for president. That's what he's doing here. I have a problem with this, and this is one of the big reasons that I decided to run in this race, is because of the fact that we have a single-party state, and if we don't elect Republicans, we aren't going to move towards a real discussion between the both sides of the aisle. Senator, and that's a reason in my mind to vote for me.
So I agree with the first half of what he said, but certainly not the second half. And as far as the illegal issue goes, I mean, he's totally right. I mean, this is something that it has been crafted by the executive branch and Governor O'Malley. I think they're dead wrong. I think they should deputize state legislators and attorneys, and we should do pro bono work and given the instructions so these cases can be disposed of in 2 weeks. Okay, if these cases aren't disposed of quickly and these kids aren't sent back home, not only are you giving false hope, but you're going to guarantee 5 million kids at the border streaming to come into the United
Absolutely.
States, including Maryland. It's never going to stop, and they need to dispose of these cases quickly. And that's the key.
I basically completely agree with Jim. This, first of all, it's obviously a federal issue, but he's correct. When we keep these kids here, when we essentially tell the families it's okay what's going on, we've invited the next family and the family after that.
A lot of emails on this topic. It's a big issue in your district. Gun legislation. It's been a hot topic in Maryland, especially in the district that you guys are running in. Moving forward, where do you see us go with additional gun legislation? And, Senator, to you specifically, a lot of emails on this, just on your vote when it came to O'Malley's gun legislation.
Sure. Look, I've been on the show before discussing this, and I've been very candid about it. I supported the governor's gun bill. I had every reason politically not to because North County is now in my district, but I found the psychiatric components of this bill incredibly important and compelling. I think that if you're voluntarily or involuntarily committed into a mental health facility, to separate you from your weapons is a smart thing to do, and I think it can prevent tragedy. Now, getting to the second half, there's a lot of parts of this bill that I didn't like, and I solely was responsible for watering a lot of them down. We took the fees from $150 to $25. We grandfathered everybody in who has a gun or a so-called assault weapon or all these other things, and we did a lot of other things. I would support weakening some of these other things, especially the part where now you have to go through training, because it doesn't make any sense to me that a criminal doesn't have to go through training as using a gun, but a law-abiding citizen does. So there are things that can be tweaked and weakened. Not only did I support the weakening of some of these things on the Senate floor and join Republicans doing that. In fact, I voted for every Republican amendment on this, but I would continue to do that. I have also, in 12 years in the Senate, tried to make it easier to carry a concealed carry permit. I think at the end of the day, to put the burden, to let the state have no timetable when you get a yes or no on a concealed carry permit is wrong. I think there should be a timetable, and I think they should have to prove why you can't have one.
Dr. Robinson.
Okay. First of all, Jim, your vote on Senate Bill 281 was the vote that actually passed legislation.
That's not true. It was 7-4. It's just not true. It's not true.
And in fact, you had prior to that always had an NRA A rating. People are very upset with the fact that they felt that you were in their corner, and when it came to crunch time, you weren't. And by the way, it's not $25, it's $50. And when we look at this, I think that looking at the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, there's a reason that the First Amendment is freedom of speech and the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms. And I think that when we abridge this, and very clearly what the administration and the left side of the aisle wants to do is continue to decrease the rights of citizens when it comes to gun ownership. I think we have simply a very real problem, and I think that people in your listening audience here want to have somebody there that will protect their rights.
Senator Burchin.
I think you raise a really interesting point, about me letting down the NRA. And you know what? I'm not beholden to the NRA, and I'm not beholden to Handgun Control Incorporated, okay? And the NRA was with me on a bunch of stuff until I voted against this, and until I voted that if you're a woman and you have a protective order against you, that your attacker or abuser has to have their gun taken from them. I am an independent voice. It's just that simple. I'm not beholden to either side. I'm going to do exactly what I've done over the last 12 years. I'm going to look at legislation. I'm going to read it. I'm going to listen to both sides of the issue, and I'm going to make a decision. And in this case, and I go back to it, and I've discussed it, I found the psychiatric components incredibly compelling. And incidentally, Tim, the NRA found them compelling also, because they told me that if they could be carved out, that we should vote for that bill.
Dr. Robinson.
Okay, and in fact, I agree with you and the NRA on the psychiatric component. I know, essentially, I've never met a gun owner that didn't think that that was a reasonable part of it. Unfortunately, what actually happened with this bill is real abridgments of the rights of citizens. If it was just the psychiatric component, I think virtually everybody agrees with that. But just by having one good part of a bill, that does not say that the rest of the bill is okay.
Senator, quickly, because I got one last thing.
That bill does not inhibit anyone's inherent right of self-defense, and that is my standard. Can it be an inconvenience? Sure, but it doesn't inhibit anybody's inherent right of self-defense, and that is my standard.
So with the gun legislation, both of you in 30 seconds or less, if there's one component of the current bill that you could change, what would that be, Doctor?
Well, obviously, I think that the idea of charging somebody a $50 tax fee, whatever you want to call it, when they buy a handgun, I think that that is very problematic.
Center.
I'm with him. It was 150. Tim's right. I got it down to 50, not 25. I think it should be zero. It shouldn't be a tax. And as I said before, I don't understand why you're charging people also to go to gun classes when you're not charging criminals to go to gun classes. And I think that should be stripped out also.
All right. And the final question in 30 seconds or less, if getting the top job, what would you do? Not the top job, but the state senate job. What would you do to relax in your free time, doctor?
Well, first of all, I just want to say something else. I want to thank my wife for the incredible support she's given through me all this. We've been married for 29 years, and she's been incredibly supportive, and that's really where my free time and relaxation come from.
And Sarah Burton?
I just go to the gym and try and work it off. And you know what? People at my gym are pretty cool. They come up to me and they're like, look, I didn't want to bother you here or there, but you know, I just wanted to say thank you. And that's where I go to work it out, 6:30 in the morning.
Gentlemen, I appreciate both your time. For the emails that I did not get to, email them to me, jmathis@wbl.com. I'll make sure I get them on the website. Appreciate your time. I'll be back with everybody next Saturday. Colin, always a pleasure. Go Orioles. Not staying until midnight again after that. It was a good